Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I believe you're going to be blessed, you're going to be prosperous in just hearing this wonderful message of God's unconditional love and how much He cares for you. You know, so many times we think that the message of grace is not acceptable to God. Or if I get too deep into the message of grace, I might not be 100% acceptable to God. So many times we receive the message of grace. We are happy to receive grace, but we believe it's acceptable to God if we just do everything right, and otherwise it will not be 100% acceptable to God. Now, that's not what the Scripture says. You might say, Bertie, are you sure of that? Well, man, I'm as sure as what the Scripture is written down in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. And we're going to read that today, and this is just going to bless you. Now, remember, the first part of this session is directed towards healing. It's directed towards signs, wonders, and miracles in your life. You might be sitting there, you've got cancer, you've got backache, sugar diabetes, hip problems. You can have any type of sickness that's just bothering you. You might have a headache, you might have slight deafness or blindness. There is healing for you. And I want you to listen and pay attention very closely, because I believe that through the message of grace and love, a lot of unbelief and a lot of doubt about who God is and what He's done in Jesus will be removed from you, and you can receive from God. I do believe that a lot of us that sit with sickness in our bodies, that tried and believed and has not received the healing, that your faith is big enough already, but that we are loaded up with so much unbelief that it's stronger than our belief. You know, there's more unbelief in people sometimes than what there is belief. And if we can get the unbelief out of the lives of people, the belief which is strong enough to manifest the miracle will just see that it will manifest. Now, you might say, Bertie, that's confusing. Let me explain to you. There was a man in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. He came to Jesus. He said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now that means that he knew that Jesus could, because he said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can. But the unbelief that was in his life was he doubted if God was willing to heal him. Now, we've got that in our lives as well. We've got faith that says, man, by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I've been blessed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am prosperous. But we've also got a faith in ourselves that says, you know, God can use sickness to test me. Or God can use sickness to teach me. Now, let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. We don't have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and cancer to purify and teach the church. No, we've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach you everything that there is to know about Jesus and the Father. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, that's in 2 Corinthians, will remind you of everything you have freely received in Christ. So, I tell you, He's not going to remind you, you know, you've received the cancer freely in Jesus Christ. Or you've received back problems freely in Jesus Christ. Or sugar diabetes. Or, I mean, blood disease or whatever. That's not a gift from Christ. The thing the Holy Spirit will remind the church of is what they have freely received in Jesus. And if we sit with unbelief mixed with our belief, man, the thing is just not going to work right. It's like this piece of paper. You need a certain amount of energy to move this paper from the one side to the other. And you don't need a lot of energy. You need just a little bit. It's a very light piece of paper. But if I put the same amount of energy towards the other direction, I'm really going to start to have to put effort into this to move it over to the one side. Because the same amount of energy is just in the different opposite direction. And that's the thing with faith or belief and unbelief. We believe God is good. Like, you know, you can't say, I believe God is good, but you also believe God tests you. You know? It just doesn't work like that. It is just a contradicting thing in your spirit. It's a contradicting thing in your belief system. And to receive from God will be so difficult. The acceptable way to God is grace. That's the only acceptable way to God to receive Him. The only way you can be pleasing unto the Father is by believing it's been given for free. Anything else is not pleasing unto God. Man, isn't that beautiful? Such a powerful truth. Let's just go to Hebrews chapter 12. And we read this wonderful piece of scripture. It says here, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. You might say, oh yeah, Bertie, you see, there it is. God is a consuming fire. And we need to be, you know, we need to have reverence. We need to have godly fear because, you know, He can just destroy you any day. It's just, you know, by luck that we're not destroyed these days with the amount of sin that's around the world. Now, if you think that, you know what, you just thought something wrong. It's not the truth what you were thinking. If that's your thought pattern, you've just made a mistake. Now, let's go to read verse 28 again. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now, let me just explain that. The kingdom of God cannot be moved. Now, you might say, Bertie, what does that mean? You know, and I've always wondered, what does that scripture mean? And what's the context of that? God's kingdom cannot be moved by what you do. Right or wrong, cannot be moved. It's stable. And so many times we think, you know, we cannot live by grace. We cannot have the mercy of God because, in our minds, what if I do something wrong? Then the whole kingdom's going to be shaken. The kingdom cannot be moved. Have grace. Hallelujah. So relax about this whole thing. Open your heart to the finished work of Jesus Christ and receive grace. Let me just read it there, the last part. It says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The only way you're going to serve God with reverence and with godly fear is by having grace. Now you might say, Bertie, we need to have reverence, young. We need to have a godly fear. You know, if you really have got, and those two words actually just speaks about respect. If you really have that, you'll receive grace. Let me give you an example. You know, when we go into the villages in Africa, I remember a time when I went to a place, I think it was Mapai or something, in Mozambique. And it was just after the war, everything was just destroyed. There was no proper food. We went up there and they served me a chicken that was, I mean, it was cooked and it stood in the sun and was about 38 to 40 degrees Celsius for a whole day. Now, you know, when I see that, I just felt, man, and I felt so sorry for the people because that was all they had. And you know what? You've got to eat what they put in front of you if you've got respect for them. So, and that's exactly the very same in this scripture. If I've got reverence for those people, if I've got godly respect towards people, you eat what they serve you. That's it. And that's the context of the scripture. The scripture says, the kingdom cannot be shaken. God decided to serve you with grace. So have grace, man. Don't be like a small child when the mother dishes up the food. You say, well, I don't want that. That's not nice. I want only ice cream. Listen. God has dished up grace. And let's have grace. And by that, we serve Him acceptably. And we've got reverence for God. And we've got honor for God. And godly respect and fear. That's what God says. And by grace, we can enter. By faith, we've got access into this grace. By faith, we've got access into our healing today. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Let's read a scripture in Acts chapter 10, and we're just going to talk a little bit about the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Man, God is so good. You know, wasn't that just a blessing to hear that explanation? of that scripture. You know, man, I think in the next session I'm going to talk, and you mustn't miss this, I'm going to talk about the scripture in James. James said we are justified by our works and not by faith. He writes it down just like that. And Paul says we've been made righteous by faith. Now, how does these two things weigh up together? That's a lot of, so many times, something that's in the mind of the church and in your life. You see, the thing in our lives is that we sit with unbelief. Unbelief is a belief that's in you that is not in line or does not correspond with the belief that God has placed there through what He's done in Jesus Christ. Because we see what Jesus has done, there's a certain belief in our hearts about God. But then there's some things we don't understand, some scriptures we don't understand, that just changes this whole thing. It just doesn't bring this absolute blessing. It brings unbelief. It brings doubt. And all of that. Now, let me give you an example. If you are listening to me right now, and you've got cancer in your physical body, man, you might think, you know, God, what do you want to teach me? Now, that's unbelief. Or you might say, God's testing my faith. You know, God just, He told five people to sponsor the ministry, that sponsors the ministry, not to put in money this month because He's teaching me. And you know, that's unbelief. That's it. God will never do that. That's not His character. That's not who He is. He doesn't function like that. He's a giver. It's like you with a cancer. You might say, you know, God has just brought this cancer over my life because He wants to see the sincerity of my faith. He wants to see if I've got faith. Now listen, you must go and read Psalm 103. The Bible says, He knows what's in you, that you are just dust. Therefore, He's merciful. So God knows you don't have the faith. God knows if He tests you, you're not going to qualify. He knows that. And you might say, but Bert, in the Old Testament, people were tested. Of course, in the Old Testament, they were tested because they were under a system where you had to qualify before you can receive anything. So to qualify, to see if it's good enough, you test it. In the New Testament, it was the very same. Or the end of the old, Jesus Christ came, He lived on behalf of man, He was tempted, tested, He went through hard times, He was found righteous. Oh, hallelujah. He died on behalf of man. When He died on behalf of man, our sins were removed from us. When He lived righteous, all of the good that the law must do was imputed unto us. And He was resurrected into newness of life. And into a glorified body, so that this covenant can be stable forever and that it cannot be moved or shaken. Isn't that wonderful? That's the goodness of God. So if you've got sickness in your body, know that God loves you. Know that He's not going to test you to teach you something. To move this piece of paper, you just need a little bit of energy to move it from my left to my right. But if I put the same amount of energy towards the opposite direction, you know what? You're going to tear this piece of paper. And it's going to be a lot of effort to move it to this side. You know? And it's just a very light thing. And it's the same with doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief is not believing that God cannot do it. Because who of us believes that God can heal cancer? All of us. Most of us believe that God can do it. Can God do it? Of course. Can God take the earth and spin Him around the way He wants? Of course. Can God today say, let there be another moon? He can. To Him, all things are possible. But the problem is we don't believe that He'll do it for us now because of a lot of stuff we heard about His nature and character that is not true. Now, I want to tell you, Acts chapter 10. Let me get into that scripture, man. I want to get into that long time ago. But let's get into that. Verse 38. It says, verse 37. Now, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, you know, let me tell you this. There's a couple of wonderful things here towards healing and health in your physical body. It says that the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus. For what purpose? He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power to go about and to do good. Now, you know, in the New Testament, you know, in our life, sometimes we've got such a warped idea of good. Man, good is good. If something's not good, it's bad. God would want to do good things to you. If you get healed, that's good. If you become sick, it's not good. If you get blessed and prosper financially, you know what? That's good. If you struggle and you're in poverty and you can't live, it's not good. And because of a warped idea of who God is, we say, you know, no, God took away that man's car and he... And you know how good that was because then he came to God. That's faith and doubt and unbelief all mingled in together, and that just brings forth one super confused person. We cannot live like that. We need to know that God is good. And man, take the Webster's Dictionary and go and read what the word good means. You will not find the word cancer there. You will not find AIDS there. You will not find hard times there. It will be good. Hallelujah. Now, man, good means good. Bless God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good. And how did He do good? He did good and He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Why did He do good? Why did He heal? Because He was anointed. Why? Because that anointing speaks of God. For God was with Him, the Scripture says. For God was with Him, the last part of verse 38. So, let me look at this again, and I want us to have clarity about this. Jesus Christ went about doing good because He was anointed. Okay? That anointing is God with Him. So, He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, that was one thing that was good. And He did many other good things, like teaching the word, showing people the love of God, loving people, spending time with sinners and prostitutes, telling them about God's unconditional love. Hallelujah! Good things He did was to lay down His life. So the good news is that He did good, and one of the good things it was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Can you see goodness goes with healing? Goodness goes with taking people away from oppression. Can you see that oppression is from the devil? Can you see that sickness is an oppression? That's what it says. Sickness is an oppression, which is not from God. It's from the devil. Okay? So sickness is an oppression which is not from God. God came to take people out of that oppression, and taking people out of that oppression is good. And that's why He was anointed to do just that. And that word went about the whole area, Judea, everywhere, that word of God's goodness. Now, God wants to bring healing into your physical body. You might be sitting there saying, oh my God, you know, I've had this sickness for so many years. And, you know, I don't know if I mentioned it in one of these broadcasts, but I want to say this. One day I prayed for a man, his name was Johnny, down in the Cape. And Johnny had a very bad back problem. And I came to him, man, we've seen many back problems here. We've seen people that were paralyzed here. We've seen the dead being raised. And here we come to Johnny. I pray for Johnny. I said, Johnny, after the prayer, I said, Johnny, test your back. Now, Johnny, he bent over. I said, just before he wanted to bend over, he looked at me. I said to him, go and test, see if you're healed. And in Afrikaans, he said, meneer, hier is nie 'n speelietjie nie, dis 'n rugprobleem. What that means is, this is not a game. This is a back problem. A little prayer like this, what he means is a little prayer like this. How will it ever heal you? Man, meneer, hierdie is nie 'n speelietjie nie, dis 'n rugprobleem. Maybe you've got that same thing. This is not a game. I've got a serious cancer problem. I want to tell you, Jesus was more serious than your problem. And you can be healed today. Hallelujah. You are the healed because of what He's done. You are the healed because of His unconditional love. He came to bring forth health and prosperity and wealth. He came to be good unto you. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? He came to bring forth a change in your life. When He sees that sickness, He's got compassion on you. He wants to see that life come into your physical body. He wants to see you run away from that sickness and just see the goodness of God. And there's another thing I want to say. So many times, we think that God heals us so that we can testify. And then we say, oh God, I'm going to testify. You know, if you just heal me, I'll testify. The testimony is already written down in the scriptures. Do you know why God heals you? Because He just loves you. To testify can be a wonderful thing, but that's not the reason why He heals you, because He's in need of people to testify. You know, when Jesus healed people, you know what He said unto them? He said, go and tell, just don't tell anybody about this. This is for you. So you are special to God. You can be healed because of His good personality, just who He is, and His great love for you. It's not about you testifying. I don't say don't go and testify, but I don't think that's the reason why. You know, if God heals me because He's in need for somebody to testify, He doesn't care if I'm healthy or not. He just heals me because He needs some. Man, isn't that selfish? God heals because He loves you. It's for you. And when we pray today, we're just going to see the powerful anointing of God. The anointing was upon Jesus. The anointing is upon me. The anointing is where you are right now. The Holy Spirit is there. There's a fire. There's a cloud of fire in your room to bring forth that healing today. Hallelujah. You know, we've had so many calls that came in that just brought, that just people testified that God is good. We've been healed. We've been touched. People that couldn't walk, they started walking. People that couldn't hear, they started hearing. People that had big problems, they were just healed. We've just had testimony upon testimony, and the same can happen to you. I just want to read and explain one of the Hebrew meanings of the word fear. The word fear means deeds shown or works because of your mind upon sacrifice. It's deeds, it's three letters. It's the word Yud, Resh, Aleph. Yud, deeds shown, or works, speaks of a hand, the hand of a man. And then the second letter there is Resh, which is the mind, or the head of a man. And then it is the last word is Aleph, which speaks of the sacrificial ox. So, fear literally means it's deeds that comes forth in your life because your mind is upon sacrifices. And you might say, oh, Bertie, what does that mean? If your mind is, I must sacrifice this, I must sacrifice that, I must sacrifice that for God to bring healing into my life. The emotion that's going to be in you is fear. It's fear. So many times we've got a reflection in our lives which is called fear or anxiety because our minds are upon, I have not sacrificed. And maybe you sit there with your sickness and you want healing in your body, but you're afraid that you're not going to be healed because is my faith great enough? Have I prayed enough? Will I believe? Man, relax. Hallelujah. I've got faith. I'll pray for you. And you just relax that God can touch you. You might say, oh, but how sure can you be that you've got faith? Man, I've got great faith. You know what great faith is? Great faith is to believe that God can justify the ungodly. You know, to believe that God can bless the people that's lived right and confessed right, you don't need great faith to believe that God will do that. You need great faith to believe that God will heal somebody that has not even done anything right. And that's what God has given unto us for free. I believe God is healing you in the mighty name of Jesus. He loves you. He cares for you. It is important for Him to see healing in your life. It's important for Him to see a change in your situation. Hallelujah. Let's agree together. And what you do, you expect a touch of God because of who God is. Amen. God doesn't heal you based on yourself. He heals you based on who He is. Amen. Let us just pray. Father, I thank You for Your great, awesome power. I thank You for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that just falls like a liquid fire in the lives of people and into the bodies of people. I thank You that cancer viruses has died in Jesus' body and that You took our sickness upon the cross. I speak the healing power of God over every listener right now. I also feel that if you want to pray for the sick man, just stretch out your hand towards this TV screen and just, or lay it on the screen. Just receive the glory of God. Just as a sign of faith, a point of contact. Just do that. I just speak forth the healing anointing of God in Jesus' mighty name. I heal every person with cancer in the name of Jesus. I say, what I have, I give unto You. Be healed now in Jesus' name. deaf ears, blind eyes, all sickness, all disease. You are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to stand up and just test your body. Just start to walk up and down, test your body. Do what you could not do before. And while I do that, thank God for what He's done. He's brought healing into your life. Just thank Him. Say, thank you, Lord. You've been good to me. I receive your grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there's a number on your screen. Just SMS your praise report or your prayer request to that number. And I would gladly pray for you. I found a little bit of difficulty to send SMSs to the guys in Zimbabwe. It just doesn't want to go through. But if you send your SMS or your prayer request or your praise report, we pray over everyone. If you want to answer me, you need to just give me an email address so that I can correspond with you. Thank you so much and God bless you. I want to invite you to make use of our ministry products. You know, we've got a wonderful series out on finances, teaching the grace of God in finances. It's a 12-part series. You might say, oh, it's so long. Why do you want to hear so much about money? But what I did was I basically took every scripture that speaks of tithing, sowing and reaping and all of that and just put it in the light of God's grace and the New Testament perspective, just shining on it. So make use of that product. You know, it's just up for a donation of any amount. And if you cannot donate, we will send it to you for free. Then I want to invite you to make use of our Dynamic Love Ministries. We want to come into your area, do a gospel crusade, have a healing school, teach people how to pray for the sick, take them to the hospitals and just demonstrate the power of God. Take them out from house to house and just show the power of God. Hallelujah. Help you guys with a gospel crusade just so people can get excited about the good news. Thank you for making use of this ministry.